Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Does the internet affect our brain function? And if so, how does it do it? This is something that we've been grappling with, and so many parents and adults trying to find some way forward in this space. Dr. Michael Huth is a specialist neurologist from the Neurological Association of South Africa. Good morning. Thanks for joining us once again. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm well. Hello to you and the listeners.
So, look, the internet is a wonderful thing. It's our outsourced brain in many ways. Being somebody who shomer Shabbat, who doesn't pick up their phone over Shabbat or Jewish festivals, it's so often we're sitting around and someone says something and we just want to fact check them. We don't have that some days because of if we don't have our phones with us. But is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
Well, like many things in the world, it's probably a neutral thing and really depends on how you use it.
Mm-hmm.
In the Jewish religion, we have a concept of an item being tarot.
Okay.
And really, it then depends on what way you use that item that determines whether it's going to have a good outcome or bad outcome for your life and well-being, both physically, mentally, spiritually. But in terms of the actual internet, I mean, never before in history of the human race has the entire intelligence of the world and all the people of the world and all the knowledge of the world been available to anybody at any time in their pocket. So that is the most incredible and most powerful thing if you think about it. And of course, it has been abused in terms of the fact that there is a lot of misinformation, there is a lot of a need to sift through a lot of, as I say, fake news or possibly even harmful news, harmful news, harmful sort of exposure to stuff to get to what's useful in the world or helpful. But definitely, like you say, to fact check someone, to look up something, whereas before we'd have to go to a source, either encyclopedias in the home, which were very, very limited, or we'd have to go to a large, large library in a city that was stored with lots of books and information written down. Now all the world's expertise and all the world's knowledge is accessible to anybody at any level, even the average man in the street. It's an incredible, incredible place to be in history. But like I said, some things can be misused. So all the bad things of the world are also available to everybody now.
But doesn't that require a completely different approach even to education? Because everything is available to us. So, you know, how the way we used to learn in terms of just learning things maybe a little bit more off by heart, things chronologically, learning dates, learning facts. But to some extent, as I said earlier, we've got this outsourced storage function that gives us access to everything anyway. Shouldn't our approach to learning and to thought be very different?
Well, I really think that educators themselves have always been on the back foot, because if you think about it, they're always reliant on having to teach the syllabus as given to them. And that syllabus, in many ways, really does not change rapidly enough to change with the world in terms of technology and how the world works today. It really hasn't changed. So, like you said, and we've touched on this before because of your interest in this topic, that education has to find a way of keeping up with how the world is. And parents also have to understand that although there are negativities to a child being on screen, one cannot keep a child back in the world of the 70s and 80s and 90s, because that is not possible anymore. And will definitely not be left in their 20s and 30s and trying to make it in the working world. So they have to be exposed to using social media, they have to be exposed to using the internet as a primary source of engagement in the world and engagement with people. And obviously, there has to be a type of balance where you try to take the developing child or developing person and, you know, teach them sort of the basic human skills of interacting without a screen. But remember that we are moving faster and faster to Zuckerberg's dream of the metaverse. And it may be in 30, 40 years' time that that's where people are existing. And if that's the case, you cannot handicap your child by not exposing them to technology. So that's just like a way of making parents feel a little bit better about the fact that kids are on screen so much. You know, and you cannot compete with the internet today because the internet is set up. It is set up, every social media site and every internet site is set up to draw a person in. It is designed like that. A TikTok video, a YouTube video, a web page that you're going to look at for travel, whatever it is, it's designed to draw you and suck you in. So it's the best. It's better than any book was ever. It's better than any movie was. It's better than anything. So, or any person that you could speak to around you in the house. So it's going to draw you in. It's going to take your attention away at the dinner table. It's going to be able to distract you.
But does that also have the result? Because I see that these videos are getting shorter and shorter. On whether it's TikTok or Instagram or anything like that. I've noticed it when we produce information heavy podcasts where we want to engage in a subject, we know that you go over a certain amount of time and you're done. Nobody, and you can watch it today. You can you get all of your stats. You know how long people watch for before they drop off. People can't either don't have the interest or don't have the patience or don't have the time to watch long videos. So our or long podcasts. So our attention span seems to be shrinking. Is it the case, or has it always been that?
I think it's definitely the case in terms of what people are choosing to pay attention to. And, you know, it's a natural result when people are exposed to the type of clickbait and the type of intense stimulation within 30 seconds or 1 minute of a TikTok video or this or that that's on social media or wherever they're looking at online, to sit and listen to a podcast or a webinar of two or three people discussing a topic, becomes agonizing without that intense stimulation. Then you'll have people multitasking and doing three things at once, etc. So, yes, there is a side of that people will become more bored much, much quicker. But at the same time, depending on how you use the internet and depending on how you use what you expose yourself to, there's also the ability to get access to or allow your brain to access a lot more information a lot quicker. And the brain doesn't have to hold back, whereas before the brain was always holding back. Like the brain is holding back when somebody is speaking to you because your brain works much faster than the person can speak. And your brain is holding back when you're reading a book because your brain works a lot and your thoughts work a lot faster than you can read. But if the internet provides information...
Oh, and that's unfortunate. That was a very, very unfortunate. We were chatting to Dr. Michael Huth, really not sure what happened there, talking about attention span.